Chapter 67. The Ice Houses. I put the back of my fingers to Peter's bruised brow. It was still warm.
Oh, Peter,
I breathed uselessly. I shut the lid and told Mrs. Frevel as little as I could. She took Geraldine in, sat her on the one pine chair, and wrapped her in a moth-eaten and very smelly blanket. Turnap got up on his hind legs and pawed her for it back, but I do not think Geraldine knew that either of them was with her. I do not think she even saw them or anything beyond what was in that basket. I found a policeman just about to finish his shift, but his weariness vanished at the prospect of a good murder. There was an undertaker's round the corner. I had noticed it before, but not paid much attention. I hoped it was not like the last undertaker with whom I had dealings, and was pleasantly surprised at their professional manner and reasonable rates. They would pick up Peter from the morgue as soon as the coroner released his body, and they would make sure he had a good coffin at a good price. I gave them my card for the bill. The basket was already being dragged onto the back of a wagon when I returned. It left a long brown streak on the pavement. Geraldine rejected my offers to stay with me in Gower Street, or for me to stay with her. She had no friends whom she wanted me to contact. She hardly spoke, except to say that she needed to be alone.
"I'll check on her,"
Mrs. Frevel promised as Turnap licked the floor. She touched my arm.
"Oh, and that hat, it's a dandy one, really."
"Cadavers warm up as decomposition sets in,"
Sidney Grice told me.
"I hesitate to ask, since I know that you are incapable of keeping your feminine emotions in check, and it is an unpleasant question."
He put down his book. "The Life Cycle and Mating Rituals of Cornishmen." Open, but upside down, on his lap.
"Did he?"
"No," I broke in. "He did not smell decayed."
"Hargorp Hanratty."
Sidney Grice pronounced the name with great precision.
"Has the use of a number of ice houses. They enable him to provide fresh eels and oysters at a premium price long after the seasons have finished."
He closed the book.
"It is possible that he kept Lieutenant Hockaday's cadaver preserved in one of those until he decided what best to do with it."
He stretched up. "But what was there to think about?" I queried.
"Hanratty is in the habit of displaying his victim's remains in public as a caveat to others who might be considering infringing upon his territory."
He reached back and dropped the book over the back of his chair, letting it thud to the floor and startle Spirit, who was curled up on his desk.
"In this case, he may have decided that the gruesome condition of the cadaver would attract too much attention and frighten his customers away."
I slumped in my chair. "You do not think—" Sidney Grice looked at me with something approaching feelings.
"Hanratty is a pragmatic man. What would be the point in disemboweling a corpse?"
I held my head. "I cannot hope to stop a gang the size of his," I said eventually. "But I can try to stop the man for whom we entered such a world." Sidney Grice took off his pince-nez and watched me.
"You will not do anything foolish."
"When?" I demanded. "When have you ever known me not to?" And Sidney Grice's lips moved. I knew it would not be, because he did not believe in God, but it was almost like he was praying.